ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
That's kind of pathetic. Sorry. Three or four times. That'd be like, I'm only going to eat three or four times a year. How many of you do that? No, because you wouldn't be here. You'd be dead. That percentage had stayed more or less steady since 2011. So 2011 to 2021, about 50% of Americans read the Bible at least three or four times a year. In 2022, it dropped 11 points. Now only 39% say they read the Bible multiple times per year or more. It's the steepest, sharpest decline on record. According to the 12th Annual State of the Bible Report, it wasn't just the occasional scripture readers who didn't pick up their Bibles as much in 2022 either. More than 13 million of the most engaged Bible readers, measured by frequency, feelings of connection to God, and an impact on day-to-day decisions, said they read God's Word less. 13 million! Currently, only 10% of Americans report daily Bible reading. Before the pandemic, the number was about 14%. We're going down. And what do we see going on is the deception. We don't see Christians able to discern right from wrong because we're not reading our Bible. The pastor in town that just had an article in the newspaper supporting, oh, they love the gays and homosexuals, which implies that we as Bible believers don't. That is not true. Do you understand that when I was raising my kids, I had to tell them things that they didn't like, things that they were doing wrong, not because I hated them, but because I loved them. Here's the thing. If you love someone, you're going to tell them the truth. If you really don't care for them, you tell them what they want to hear. And that's what churches are doing today. How sad. Only 10% of Americans read the Bible daily. Wow. Also, Pew Research Center found that nearly a third of regular churchgoers have not returned to church buildings. Some choose to participate online, but others have dropped out completely. A third of people who came to church before COVID are no longer coming to church in America. What happened? Do they go to stores? Do they go to movies? They go everywhere else. Oh, but they don't go to church. Why? See the danger out there? And thus we see the sharp decline in Bible reading. Isolation from other Christians has lethal impact on private Bible reading, he said. When people are not in church, they're not reminded of the blessings of Scripture, and it's important for their lives. And they aren't engaged or encouraged by other Christians sharing about their own Bible reading. The cost of discipleship, or how important is it for you to live out your faith? And if you're going to live out your faith, you better know what you believe, right? You're not going to sacrifice your life, serve the Lord at any cost for something you don't believe in. Why do you think Christians in other parts of the world are willing to die for their faith? Because they believe it. And they're willing to sacrifice their lives for it. What do we have here in America as persecution? People call us names. They make fun of us. And we can't take that. And so we compromise what we believe so we can fit in with the rest of the world. Peter said he loved the Lord with all his heart. He tried the best he could in the flesh. But he couldn't love the Lord completely until he was empowered by the Spirit. And then he will have that agape love. His life is going to be transformed. And I think the same is true for us. Are we willing to surrender? Lord, here I am. Put our lives on the altar of sacrifice. Lord, use me as you will. You know, before I came up here to Manitowoc 28 years ago, I was really comfortable back in Chicago. I don't think I'd be comfortable today, but, you know, it's a different story back in Chicago. We had a great church. I had a great job. I mean, I worked in an open heart unit, man. It was, and I got to help start it up. unbelievable. You know, when we had done our 500th patient, it was so exciting. And our home was great. The schools were great. And it was funny because my wife and I were talking. And we're like, you know, this is great. We love where we were at. And it was a short time after that that God opened the door for us to come up here. Out of our comfort zone. There was people at work, doctors at work going, what are you doing? You have it. I mean, I was making really good money back then as a nurse. I had a lot of experience, and I knew what the Lord called me to do, and I was really willing to lay it on the line. My kids were pretty upset with us. All our friends are here. We'll never make any friends at all. That wasn't really true. They did make friends, but it changed for them. I knew what the Lord wanted me to do, and that's what we see a change in Peter. You have to surrender your life. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. We see it in Acts chapter 2. We see it portrayed in Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, this transformation of Peter, something far different than before. This is what we're told in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 3 months earlier, he couldn't even acknowledge the Lord, that he knew the Lord. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know the guy. Now before the Jewish religious leaders, he's saying, look, guys, you're the one that put him to death. There's salvation in no one else. That's boldness. That's empowering of the Holy Spirit to speak forth the word of God. And I realize that people have all kinds of crazy ideas about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But understand, the main focus is to proclaim the word of God with power. And that's what we see. We have to die to self, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. And to those words that Jesus said to Peter, he's saying to us, follow me. It may be difficult. It may not be easy. It may cost you a lot, but stand firm in the power of his might and follow him. And I realize, you know, we've all probably felt, you know, look, I've blown it. I can't get up. How can I get back? If you're struggling or when you struggle, listen to the Lord who spoke to Peter and encouraged him by telling Peter, you know, Peter, don't give up here. Your ministry isn't over. It's really just beginning. Yeah, you've fallen, but it's time to get up and keep following me. What encouraging words those are. But what happens many times is that we lose our focus, and that's really important, right? You know, the Lord restored Peter, and then the cost of discipleship, and now I'm losing my focus. What's going on over here? What's going on? Look at verse 20 in John 21. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Isn't it easy to become distracted? It's very easy. I mean, sorry, I'm going to pick on my wife this morning. We're driving in the car, and all of a sudden, Julie goes, ah! And I'm like, what? She goes, a deer. I'm like, oh my God, I almost died. You can't be that emotional. I know, a deer's beautiful. It's great. but you almost killed me here. So easy to get distracted. And look at our daily lives. We are bombarded with so much stuff. Do you realize all the news that's out there? And I'm not talking about on TV, and that's plenty, but on Facebook and all these other sites, you could spend your entire day and not even scratch the surface of the news that's out there that you are bombarded with. And it's trying to catch your attention. And we lose our focus. What's our focus? God. We lose our focus of God because of all these other things. And we become angry and mad. And we can't hear that still small voice that's speaking to us because of the other noise. All the other distractions that are out there. From my childhood, I loved The Wizard of Oz. Okay, that's just me. Dorothy, remember? And the others, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, the Lion, they are going to see the wizard. And they get there, right? And there was all the smoke and noise and fire. And remember that big, you know, picture in the background talking and making all kinds of sounds and noises. And oh my gosh, all those distractions. And what happened? Toto, the little dog, goes and pulls the curtain. And who's behind the curtain? A man, right? Just a man. Pay no attention to what's behind the curtain. Exactly. That was my next line. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. All that stuff out there? Yes. It's good to be aware of what's going on. We need to pay attention to the Lord. Satan loves to distract us. If he could keep us from the Word, if we spend more time looking at all this other stuff and not being in the Word, he's won. You're going to be distracted. And that's what we see here with Peter. The Lord's telling him all these things. And he says, hey, wait a minute, Lord. What about this guy over here? If this is going to happen to me, what's going to happen to him? And, of course, Peter is speaking about John. And Jesus just renewed his challenge to Peter, follow me. And now Peter responds to what the Lord told him. Instead of following Jesus, he's looking back. Who's he looking to? Again, John. He's taking his eyes off the Lord. It's a distraction. That's not what Jesus told him to do. And again, Jesus isn't saying we're not to care for others, especially brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're to look out for them. But you are not going to be able to minister to others, care for them, without following the Lord. And that's what we see here. The Lord basically tells Peter not to worry about what he's doing with others. You follow me. Do not be distracted. Now, there was this rumor that got started that the Lord said he was going to return before John died. So can you imagine every time John got sick? The Lord's coming back, right? All that excitement. And when he got put in boiling oil, oh, this is it. John's going to die. Oh, now his skin looks better and he's alive still. I guess the Lord's not coming back. It was a rumor. It had no basis in truth. But isn't it amazing how rumors can distract us from the real work? Forget about it. Some of you that are into baseball or older know of Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra had a way with words, you know? And I'll share the story that happened between him and Hank Aaron. Yogi Berra was the catcher for the New York Yankees. Hank Aaron, of course, the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves years ago. And they were playing in the World Series. And as usual, Yogi was keeping up his ceaseless chatter. He loved to talk. He never made a whole lot of sense, but he was funny. And intended to pep up his teammates on the one hand and distract the Milwaukee batters on the other, he kept saying all kinds of things. So Hank Aaron comes to the plate, and Yogi tried to distract him by saying, "Hey, Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark." Aaron didn't say anything, but when the next pitch came, he hit it into the left field bleachers. He hit a home run. After rounding the bases and tagging up at home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, "I didn't come up here to read." Exactly. I need to stay focused on what my job is. My job is to hit the ball, not to be distracted by reading. Don't be distracted, guys, by all the things that are coming down. Be in the Word of God. Be listening to what God is showing you. Follow Jesus and not let these other things distract you stay focused. And again, it's so important that distractions don't take us away from the Lord. You know, if you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to be in trouble. When Peter walked on the Sea of Galilee towards Jesus, he was doing great. I don't know about you, but that took a lot of faith to get out of a boat. I got to give him credit. And he's walking on water now. And everything was going great because why? He's focused on Jesus. But then in Matthew 14:30, it says, but. Whenever that's applied to man, that's never a good thing. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. What happened? He couldn't imagine. I'm walking on water. Not only that, but the waves are crashing on me. What am I doing here? And he started to sink because his eyes were taken off of Jesus. And Jesus reached out his hand and lifted Peter up. Yeah, the things we do are unbelievable. God has enabled us to do all kinds of incredible things in our life as Christians. But sometimes we go, I can't do it. And we start sinking. And the Lord's there, just reach out. I'm here. Stay focused on me, not on all these circumstances that are out there. Because distractions will come. You know, what caused Peter to step out of the boat? The word of God. Jesus said, come. And that's what he's saying to us. Get out of the boat. Come. He had faith in the word of God, and we must also have faith in the word of God. Well, let's finish up. Look at verse 24. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Again, remember what we read a few weeks back in John 20, verses 30 through 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Jesus did many other things. It's not limited what's in here or what's in the other gospels. Too much to be written down. But John, remember his whole focus. The focus of John is to show that Jesus is Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the savior of the world. And that's why he penned these words. He wants you to come to saving faith. That's why we encourage new believers or people who don't know the Lord, read the gospel of John. Because the whole point is about Jesus and who he is. And you know, here in verse 25 of John 21, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Yeah, you can't put it all down, but this is what the Holy Spirit has given to us. And look at what we have in our hand today. His words, 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, 783,137 words. I didn't count them. I trusted someone who did. That's a lot. How much more do we need to see how much God loves us and died for us so that we can have fellowship with him? Now, here's the thing. If a person doesn't want to believe, they're not going to. And it's not going to matter how many books were written or chapters or verses or words in the Bible. It's a choice. But here's the thing, and I challenge people, you can't read the Bible and come to the conclusion that God doesn't love you. You may not want to believe him, that's your choice, but his love is seen throughout the scriptures. And think about it. You could speak of all kinds of, you can speak of Buddha and Muhammad and this God and that God, right? No one is offended by it, no one really cares, you know, big deal. Speak about Jesus. And look out. People get upset. They can't take it anymore. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Why? Because he's the living God. All these others are not. So people don't care. Satan doesn't care about that. But he does not want the worship of God, our God, the living God. And he'll do anything possible to stop it. What did Jesus say in John 3? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. How does God show his love for us? He sent a Savior. He sent a Savior to save us from our sins. We were condemned in this world. We didn't need more condemnation. We needed salvation. And he sent a Savior. And if you believe, you're no longer condemned because your sins have been paid in full by Jesus. But if you refuse to believe, you remain condemned because you have rejected Jesus. But the light is out there for everyone to see. And you can receive the light of God into your life. You can receive Jesus or you can reject it and remain in darkness. But it's a choice. But John has given ample evidence to believe that Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now, if I was to ask you the theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you could probably come up with several different things, but one word, it's redemption. Or you could even put Jesus in there because he is our redemption. The first two chapters of the Bible deal with creation. Everything was very good, right? After that, after sin, it's God restoring. Genesis lost in Genesis is Genesis regained in the book of Revelation. That's the story. God's redemption for sinful man. And it shows us his love. You know, John Newton, I'm sure you're familiar with him, a slave trader before he got saved, understood the love of God for us. And this, you know, again, I don't think we understand how evil that whole business was, but John Newton understood it. He wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved this really nice, cute, adorable person like me, a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear that hour I first believed. Through many dangerous toils and snares I've already come. This grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That is the love of God for sinful man. It's incredible. We just need to follow him. We're free in Christ. Jesus said it in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free from the bondage of sin that we were in. We have been set free in Christ. And now, like John, are witnesses of what Jesus has done in our lives. He's touched us, set us free from sin, and now we're to share that with others so that they may believe. And Jesus is telling us, like he's telling Peter, follow me. Keep your eyes on me because there's going to be all kinds of distractions out there. But keep your eyes on me. And he can use us in the most incredible ways for his glory. I always think about how, you know, it's crazy that God has allowed me to do the things that I do. He's opened doors for me to go places that I never imagined I can go, to share the gospel, to teach people the word of God. And it's all on the basis of his love for me, not because I'm so great, but because he is so great. And Peter needed to understand that. Lord, you know all things. And Jesus says, follow me. And that's what he's telling each of us. I don't care where you're at this morning. I don't care if you feel totally inadequate or you've blown it and God can't use you. He loves you with unconditional love, and he's reaching out and wants to take you by the hand so you could follow him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this closing remarks here in the Gospel of John. They're so powerful. I mean, We could have ended the Gospel of John in chapter 20, but no, we needed the finishing story of Peter, because it's really the story of our lives, the things we deal with, how Satan beats us up and how we get discouraged because we're trying to do things in our flesh and we're not capable, and we need you. And Lord, just empower us by your Spirit to live those kind of lives that you want us to live and to follow you all the days of our lives. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.